welcome to another Freedom Journey. I'm Steve Martin. I'm here with Clyde Pilkington. And man, I'm excited about today's topic, freedom from sin. You know, that we're recording this on January the 3rd. And this is the time of the year when everybody is making resolutions. They're going to lose weight. They're going to exercise. And, you know, the gyms are busy, and in a month they'll be empty again. And so it's just a cycle. And another resolution that's often made is they want to break bad habits or addictions. They want to stop smoking, or the, you know, whatever habit or addiction that they're struggling with. And once again, you know, for me, I didn't bother this year, but for me, always been health related. You know, I'm going to eat better.
Yeah.
I'm going to exercise more. But I figured out that doesn't work. But that's, and so, you know, in a couple of weeks, we're off back doing what we did before. And so, it's just frustrating. You know, we just seem to have no control over any of this stuff.
and lo and behold, we don't. Yeah. Those of us who God has allowed for us to see the sovereignty of God, the absolute sovereignty of God, you know, we realize we have this much control. We got zero. And, you know, so today we're talking about on this freedom journey. And I love making this journey with you, Steve. You know, Father had us on this journey independently, and now we're on this journey together. And we get to pick some topics and talk about this. So it's awesome. And we have so many similarities, you know, and our this New Year's resolution thing, you know, is the same with me. You know, it's the same kind of resolutions that you would have. And we soon realize how ineffective and how human resolutions really are.
It seems that it's another way God shows us that, you know, January the 1st, you know, I'll just show a bunch of people again, they really don't have controls I thought they did.
Yeah. So, you know, somebody, I think it's a famous person, but I can't remember. Somebody said, you know, you want to make God laugh, you know, make a plan. You know, and it doesn't mean, you know, you and I know, and we want to make sure that our listeners know that it doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan and we shouldn't, you know, have goals and see if we can't make improvements. But what we're talking about here on this freedom journey, and especially today, the freedom from sin, is to realize, you know, we're free no matter what the results are. We are absolutely free because God, we're riding the train, and God's in charge. He is the train. He is the captain. He is the conductor. He is everything. And we're along for the ride, and it's a wonderful ride. And if we can understand God's complete sovereignty and his love and grace, then even sin, even in the middle of it all, we're not, by the way, we're not going to resolve away our sin. We're not going to make resolutions and straighten up all our misses, all our mistakes.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, the Christianity always has these steps or these books, you know.
Yeah.
You know, 7 steps to a better marriage, 7 steps to quit a bad habit and all these things. Let's talk about what sin is a little bit.
Yeah. You know,
I think we have kind of Christianity has kind of given us a wrong idea about what sin is.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, there's a great place and some of our readers will be familiar with this, but in Judges chapter 20 and verse 16, there's a great place where we get a contextual definition of sin in an illustrative way. And so in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that it continually gets translated sin when we get to Judges chapter 20 and verse 16, it's translated as miss. And it's discussing David's mighty men and their skill with slings and stones. And the verse says, everyone could sling stones at an hair's breadth and not miss. They wouldn't miss. And that word miss there is the word that all over the Hebrew scripture translated into English is sin. And so what a beautiful definition of what sin is. Sin is missing. And in fact, if you consult, you know, Hebrew lexicons, you'll see that definition. That definition is to miss the mark. It's to fail to reach the goal, you know, the ideal that you're trying to reach. And this is exactly what's happening in New Year's resolutions, you know, and, you know, these grand, the way we would write the story if we were writing the story. So this year, this is what's going to happen. You know, I'm getting a better job, making more money. My marriage is going to be better, and I'm going to straighten up my health and all those things. And then it doesn't take long to realize we can't will away our missing. We can't will away our sin. And when we realize that sin is just missing, it's missing. There's a target. We shoot for it. Our stone, if we're throwing stones, if we're shooting arrows, our arrow, or, you know, if we're target practicing with a pistol, we miss the target. You know, we shoot all around it. Every now and then we might hit it and we're like, whoo, look what I did. You know, and the fact is, whether we hit it dead on or it's always off to the side or one side or another, and then what we often do is we try to correct and we overcompensate and we hit the other side of it. We miss on the other side. And when we realize that sin is just missing, it helps us to realize what sin is. You know, sin, you and I, who and many of our listeners who grew up in the religious system, you know, sin is carries a whole weight, a whole weight of significance that's not necessarily always associated with the word in scripture.
Growing up, it was like sin was some sort of a rebellion against this holy God that couldn't bear to look on sin. And so there was just this huge guilt that was put on us because there's this God and he's just waiting to whale us or something.
And all our misses.
Yeah, we get in the corner or we try to justify it, you know, or but then when we do hit the mark, then of course everything's all right, you know, and we're right with God for about 10 minutes. And
Steve, this is where we just hit on it a minute ago, but this is where the sovereignty of God is absolutely key to freedom in this arena of sin. Because when we realize that God is sovereign and he's the one in charge, so that even our misses, even our sins, he has written them. You know, Romans 11:36, I can't venture very far from that verse. In fact, I just live in that verse. Yeah. We live in this verse that out of him and through him and to him are all. Everything came out of God, everything operating in God, and everything's on its way into fullness back to God. And we realize that sin is not an exception to that. sin's a part of that absolute sovereignty of God. And God is, he's in charge of our sin. He's in charge of our missing.
So it's not our fault.
It's not our fault. Yes. In fact, God is responsible. Since everything comes out of him and everything operates through him and everything's going, God is responsible for everything. That means God's responsible for our sin. He's responsible. Not only responsible, but he's accountable for our sin.
That sounds like blasphemy.
Ooh, it does. Yeah, we got a good. We got a link. I'll put a link down below to an article on the responsibility and accountability of God. So it's important, you know. And because God is accountable and responsible, and everything comes out of him, everything operates through him, and everything going to him, because of that, then sin is going to be justified. And this is very important for us to realize. If God is writing the story, which he surely has, he has written our story before we are born. And if that's true, and it is, then it has a divine purpose. And understand that, we'll understand that sin's going to be justified. All sin, our misses, our failures, our flubs, our disasters, they're all going to be justified. You know, and it's funny, I think I used to, when I'd be thinking of justification, which is, you know, to constitute righteous or to declare righteous, you know, it seemed like some little trick God was doing, like magic, like we were really sinners and we were really wrong and God hated us, and somehow God does this little magic and it's like we're not sinners anymore, and so he forgives us and he beats up Jesus for all our offenses, and somehow we can have this magical relationship with God. While we're sinners, we're somehow saints, you know. And it's like a magic trick. And I would shy away, like the word, for instance, the word justify, when we use it in a normal sense and we say, you know, somebody did something and then they tried to justify what they did, you know, and I would shy away from that normal sense of the way we would use the word justify, and that somehow didn't apply. But, you know, it's the same concept. And that is, you and I have missed, we have failed, but God wrote our failure. God wrote our sin. And that's our justification. Is that God did it, you know, and, you know, the old religious thing is, you know, the devil made me do it.
Right.
those of us who are our age or somewhere in that neighborhood, you know, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Yeah, what's my fault? The devil, you know, and really it's not our fault, but it's not the devil. It's God. He's the responsible one. He's the accountable one. And so we can't see it now. We see a little glimmer.
Yeah.
We can't understand why us keep failing. And especially when that failure hurts us and others and people we love, we can't understand how there's a reason for that. But every sin one day will be justified. We will understand why it happened and why it was legitimate and why it was right instead of wrong. So even though we're imperfect, it's perfect imperfection.
So we can't sin too much then.
No, because what did Paul say? Yeah. Where sin abounds, what happens? Grace.
Super exceeds.
It super excels. You know, you can't. You can't. And it's not we're trying to.
No.
We couldn't try to out-sin grace, even if we wanted to, because God wrote our whole story. You know, it's crazy. You know, if people think, you know, or, you know, you're just trying to say you can, you know, you can just sin all you want to, you know. In fact, you got some great articles coming out that in the BSN very soon. And the fact is, you know, I can't do anything unless God wrote it, including want to, you know. And so all our successes and all our failures are divine. And we can't take credit for our success, and we can't take credit for our failure. We're actors on a divine stage. How beautiful, you know, is that? In fact, you know, when we think about that divine cycle and justification, you know, I can't help but think about Romans 3 and verse 4. There's a judgment. There's a very important judgment in Scripture that Paul discusses in Romans 3 that I'm pretty sure almost the whole of Christianity doesn't know anything about. They don't know about this judgment. And it's the judgment of God. And we know that judgment's setting things right.
Right.
And thank God, we are looking for it. You know, people, I grew up afraid of the judgment of God. And I know you did too.
Oh, yeah, terrified.
When I started studying and when I was a teenager and sharing what I was learning with other teenagers, I was surprised how much that what came up was their fear of the judgment of God. But if we understand judgment's fixing things, bring it on. You know, and that's why we can see the discussion of God's judgment in the Old Testament, and there's praise and worship of his glorious mercy and so forth, because God's going to fix stuff, you know. In our Western judicial mindset, judgment is to be declared guilty and a fine or punishment or incarceration, you know, where the divine view of judgment is righting wrongs, fixing things. That's exactly what we want.
Exactly.
You know, that's why we have New Year's resolutions. We don't want to be sick. You know, we don't want to be poor. We don't want to fight with our wives and relatives and be astray. We want to fix things, but we're not the fixers. But God is, and he does it with judgment. But in Romans 3:4, it says that you might be justified, God. That you might be justified in your sayings and might overcome when you are judged. There's coming a day, the great judgment, the judgment of God, that he will be judged, that he will be on trial. And according to Paul in Romans 3:4, he's going to be justified in everything. So, you know, all those questions, and even saints have them.
Yeah.
What about this disaster? Every time we're going to make one of these, there's some big disaster that's happened. You know, it's floods and hurricanes and tornadoes, and it's terrorist acts and people killing each other with ammunition and vehicles and so forth. Then we say, God, why did you do this? Why do you, you know, if we don't understand the sovereignty of God, we say, why do you allow this? You know, but we understand the sovereignty of God, and people say, man, I still can't understand why God wrote this. Well, one day God will be judged. and everything's going to be set right with God. All those questions we had when he's judged, he's going to come out and overcome it all. Why? Because it's going to make perfect sense. You know, it's that thing that that Mike Owen says, you know, the post-resurrection amazement, right? And we're going to go, oh, my goodness. Of course,
yeah.
This was a genius plan.
Yeah. You know?
And we've already discussed these kind of things before, because the worst, you know, the most evil day of history, you know, could be arguably Calvary. And yet it was the greatest day of history. It was the most good, you know, and they're there together. And one day it's just going to be wonderful. And so all sin's going to be justified. We're going to see why it's right. And you know, I like to say it this way. People think that what God's doing is righting sin. W-R-I-T-E, right. He is writing, that he's writing sin. So, in other words, you make a mistake and he's writing it down.
Right.
He's keeping a list. He's checking it twice. He will see who's naughty or nice. He is keeping a record. But 1 Corinthians 13 says love doesn't keep record of wrongs. Okay, are we missing something? Wow. God's not writing sin. He already did that.
Yeah.
He wrote it before.
It's already a record. Yeah.
It's already there. So he's not writing anything down. We're living out what he wrote. But what God's going to do one day is R-I-G-H-T sin. And Christianity is all absorbed with him writing sin. He's keeping a record of your sins. And when in fact the judgment is about correcting everything that's been wrong and making it right. Man, is that going to be a great time.
Yeah, and religion will have you every night try to remember all the sins you committed through the day. You go down through the list and you repent of all of them. And then you say, and God, if there's something I didn't remember, please forgive me of that too.
Please forgive me of what I forgot. Yes.
And so we're just this constant listing that, yeah.
Yeah. And it's because they're in their mind, we understand God already wrote sin.
Yeah.
And they're thinking we have free will and we're willy-nilly in through life. And now God's writing down what we do. He's writing down our life after the fact. Right. He wrote our life before the fact. You want to talk about freedom. Freedom from sin has nothing to do with sinning more or sinning less. Freedom from sin is to know you're not in charge of that. And so whatever's going on, it's not who you are. And see, that's what I love about, you know, Paul, you know, we've discussed before, and I know we have some videos and stuff, and even Dean and Chris in DC Time have had this discussion on the, you know, whether there's a sin nature that believers have, and that's where sin's coming from. It's coming from like we are and our nature. And that's absolutely contrary to the scriptures. And there is no such thing as sin nature. In fact, you know, one of the things that gets translated sometimes in the Bible is we see in English is sinful. Oh, that's sinful. There is no Greek or Hebrew word equivalent to sinful. And Paul says that in Romans 1:26 that when God turns people over and has them do certain acts that are, we would say, shocking. He says that in Romans 1:26 that they're against nature.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a sinful nature, it wouldn't be against nature. It'd be in our nature, and it's slipping out. We didn't manage to hide it. So those misses that we do, whether they're small or huge, they're really against our nature. They're against who we are. In the very next chapter in Romans 2:14, he says that when the nations who don't have the law do by nature the things that are in the law. They are a law unto themselves. So when we miss, and when we do those misses that seem shocking, or people in our lives do, they're doing it against their nature. It's not who they are. And this is the key to freedom from sin, is to knowing that when we miss and when we sin, it is God who wrote it, and we're living it out, but it's not who we are. We are actors on a divine stage. We show up on the stage, the curtain rises, we read our scripts, we act our part, but that's not who we are. It's not who we are in the plan of God before the disruption, and it's not who we're going to be in the consummation. And to know that, and that's why Paul, what does Paul say in Romans 7?
Yeah.
When he talks about sin? Twice he says in Romans 7, 17, and then in 20, he repeats it. He says really the exact same phrase. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So it's like cancer. Cancer's in, might be in you, might be operating in us right now, and we don't haven't even been diagnosed yet. But when it's operating someone, that cancer's not who they are. It's not who a person is. It doesn't define them, and neither does sin. It's not us. And isn't that sort again, that's the way the world views justification. And it's real.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do something, I say, it's not me.
Not my fault.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
You know? And so when the charges are read, we plead not guilty. Which not guilty is to be righteous.
Yeah.
You did the right thing, not the wrong thing. And even when you and I, Steve, do the wrong things, and that wrong is only a contrast between good and evil, back to that tree in the garden that had good and evil, they're just two sides of the same coin. And when we do that, this is not who we are, and it's not our fault. God designed it. Now there's freedom.
Yeah. And it not only impacts how we feel about ourselves, this whole evil nature thing have us believe, but how we look at it, and it's, I think a lot about children, you know.
Yes.
If we think that our child has an evil nature that we have to somehow beat out of him, or you know, remove from them, it just, and once we realize it's not an evil nature, it's just they're like the rest of us. They're frail, they're unable to do the right thing.
Yes.
And that's what God's written into their life. And I remember, yeah, I was at a party once, and there was this cute little girl walking around, and I heard these two guys over here going, wow, she's cute, but she's, you know, she has that evil nature that she's going to have to repent of at some point.
Yeah, and it's going to have to be beat out of her.
And I'm like, what the? I think that was one of the first times it really hit me. You know, it's like,
something's wrong.
Something's wrong with that.
Yeah. And you know what? It allows it. You're right. This freedom from sin. You know, I'm sure, you know, if Christianity were to see our theme today, freedom from sin, it would be some kind of, it would involve basically two things in their mind. It would be involved in repenting,
yeah,
and getting forgiveness. So that's shame and guilt.
Right.
And it would involve, so that's one side. So freedom from sin is somehow dealing with our shame and guilt and getting on the right track and repenting. And then we're going to stop sinning.
Yeah. We're going to be accountable.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're gonna
all these steps set up.
Yeah, yeah, and we're gonna get a partner to do that with, and you're gonna be my partner, and you know, and then we're just gonna hide from each other,
or lie,
or not. Yeah, and so, and the thing is, so on the one side, it's like, you know, shame and guilt and getting that resolved. Then the other side, it's this holiness. We're going to start now taking holy actions. Right. And we are going to, from our own free will, we are going to muster this strength to stop all our sins. You know,
well, we got to pray more. We got to read our Bible more. We got to have our quiet time. We got to go to church more. And all these things are promised to us that will help us.
Yes. Yeah. And none of it works.
None of it
freedom works. From sin has nothing to do with shame or guilt and forgiveness. It has nothing to do with self-effort and trying to not sin. Freedom from sin is to know its source, that it's not us. God wrote it into our story. We're not going to overcome it by self-effort in this life. In fact, the problem with sin, you touched on it just a little bit there. It's not a sinful nature that's our problem. Our problem is we lack the vitality of life. We are weak, and we can't overcome this sickness and the enemy. And the only thing's going to fix that is death and resurrection. Immortality will give us the strength. We'll laugh. You know, of course, everybody's going to be in that state eventually, and then sin won't even be present. But even if it was, laugh at it, because we would be strong, you know? So how wonderful that is. So, you know, so the answer to freedom from sin isn't forgiveness. It isn't to cease from sinning and have some kind of holiness life. It's to know exactly who we are and say, like Paul, you know, when I would do good, evil's present with me, you know, and I do that which I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do, and it's not me. It's not me. I didn't do it. That's freedom from sin.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul describes that to us in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. He says that the grace of God teaches us something. The King James says it teaches us to deny ungodliness, to deny it. It's funny, you read some translations and it says, you know, the grace of God teaches us to stop the ungodliness, to cease from ungodliness. That's human self-effort. That's the holiness doctrine. That's not even what the verse says. He teaches us what the King James, you know, now the Concordia has even a better word, but let's just go to the King James a minute. So God's grace teaches us to deny the stuff. What does that mean? Wouldn't me. Deny it. It's not me. No, this stuff I do is not me. I don't have anything to do with that. It's all God. That's what God's grace teaches us to do. Now, it's interesting because the concordant in that verse, what does that verse say? Let me see. I had written it down. He says, oh, my goodness. So what the concordant has there in this verse is that the grace of God teaches us to disown. Nope, I'm not taking ownership of that. You know, because it really is like Paul said, we want to do the right thing.
Sure.
What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, that I do. So what's going on? The sovereignty of God's going on.
And I remember talking to guys in prison, you know, when I was, just to clarify, I was a chaplain. You know, these guys would talk about, and some of them done some pretty terrible things, and they don't know why they did it. You know, they didn't want to do it, but there was this something in them just compelled them, and they couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
And they felt guilty the whole time. They felt the shame and all of this. So even there, it wasn't their nature.
No.
It was for some of them, I think it's just it's a birth defect or just something that happened to them. It'd be like, any other birth defect that comes along that hinders people. And
The purpose, the reason, behind these things, you don't really have to dig too far
to see
the divine setup that these people were set up. You see it in their parents. You see it in their grandparents. You see it in the environment. Our supposed free will is all controlled by environment and DNA and upbringing and influence of people around us. And you stack all that up against someone, you and I, Steve, we had stuff stacked up the other way for us, and we have no credit to how we've turned out.
No, absolutely not.
Any more than someone else has a blame for how they turned out, So true freedom from sin has nothing to do with the actions. They have nothing to do with self-effort and what's going on. So it really comes, freedom from sin comes in a realization of the truths of God's sovereignty, that everything comes out of Him. Even our failures, even our misses and sins, even our disasters come out of Him. And that He has pre-written our lives. Our lives aren't being written by Him day by day or recorded at the end of the day after we did all the action. He does the writing. Okay, I'm going to write down what you did now. Instead, before we were born. And that's a great truth of, Psalm 139:16. My days, all of them were written in your book. The days were formed when there was not one of them, So you think about these. Go ahead.
So what's the purpose of all of this? God's putting us through the ringer, so to speak. So what's the end game? Why is God doing this?
Well, the first thing I'd say is there's a contrast. And God is teaching us by a contrast of good and evil. God's the one who planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God came up with good. He came up with that contrast of good and evil. And it's playing out in our lives. A part of it is Solomon said that man has Solomon or Job. He says that God has given man an experience of evil to humble him. So there's this place that God's bringing humanity to where they aren't in shame and in guilt of sin, and they're not in pride and arrogance of self-righteousness, but they're in this place where they worship God as Father, who loves us and has brought us through this learning experience right back to Himself in perfection. Right now we're perfectly imperfect, and one day we're going to be perfectly perfect. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. God is going to fix everything, and everything is broken. I'm broken. You're broken. Every part of our lives are broken. Every part of the lives of everyone we know are broken. Our community's broken. Every system of man is broken. It's government. It's food. It's water. It's power. It's business. Everything's broken, and God's going to fix it all. And that's the end result. And the way we live in freedom from sin is to know God wrote the story. He wrote our script. We're on the stage of a divine drama and we're playing a character that's not who we are. That's how actors do.
Yeah. So who's the current audience of this great drama that's going on?
Well, you know, ultimately it's celestial beings.
Right.
Paul lets us in on some enormous insight, but let's even back it up earlier, because we are able to see this drama as well. You know, we're able to watch our co-actor, our co-stars. We're able to watch them. In fact, we were talking before we started recording, you know, how wonderful it is to see and hear about other people's journeys, you know, and they're encouraging to us, you know, and especially they're not encouraging to us because they always saw these truths and they have no issues or difficulties. You know, they're encouraging to us because they came out of stuff. Right. You know, they came out of bad doctrine and they came out, you know, God wrote overcoming obstacles in their lives, you know? So, you know, truly, and Paul even says that our, you know, that the things we go through, God comforts us. So we'll be able to comfort others also who have the same thing. So, you know, a part of this going through this drama, you know, is we're and even in a play on Broadway, you know, or in the movies, you know, the characters, you come in and you play your role and the other people are playing their roles and you play off their characters and they play off your character. And none of this is who these people are, you know? And so this is going on. So we do have some benefit, you know, I'm greatly encouraged by what God has written in your life, Steve. And I'm greatly encouraged by, and I could just list men today and women whose lives mean so much to me, and just, but what I'm seeing is what God wrote. But there's a bigger picture going on in the universe than you and me and those that we're also watching, and that is the celestial beings. They are in total amazement. They are baffled at what in the world is going on this earth, and all this chaos and all of this disappointment and all of this disaster that's going on in the world all around us, that should cause people to curse God and die. The great advice of Job's wife: curse God and die. And yet there are a handful of people on the planet who, in the midst of this same evil and heartbreak and disaster, bow before him and say, shall we receive good from the hand of the Lord? Shall we not receive evil? Blessed be the name of God. And the celestial beings are in total amazement of this, and they're in the process of learning something as well. A process that we are starting now. God is now showing, Paul teaches us in Ephesians, that we are on display to the celestials. And that's because one day we're coming in to reign over the celestials. And it's going to be a testament. And the testament is to God's love, God's grace, God's fatherhood, to the glory of God. And we get to be the key components of that as members of the Christ, the pleroma. Christ is the fullness of God, the pleroma of God, and we are the pleroma, the fullness of Christ, reconciling the world to God. And this is just a little taste of it right now. And you and I get to be part of it.
Like our friend Mark says, it can make us giddy.
Exactly. It can.
Yeah. And I think about, you know, knowing knowing all the things that we've talked about, you know, knowing that, God's sovereign, God's in control, it's not our fault, and that there's this bigger picture of what God is doing can just bring so much. I mean, things get really bad, and there still will be that peace that we know that God is, you know, God is doing this. This is what God wrote. God hasn't lost control. He's not, yes, not trying to catch up. He's not five steps behind.
Yes.
Everything has happened.
Yes, yes. And it's divine appointment.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been any other way. When we think about those most disappointing things in our lives, especially probably related around that we had brought to others.
Right.
And it was a divine appointment, and it could not have been avoided. We could not have done something any other way. And no matter how many lifetimes we could rewind and take a journey back in time and try it again, we would read the same lines over and over again and take the same actions.
And I would suggest to people that are struggling with this regret, we did a freedom journey a while back about freedom from regret. And we talked a lot about, you know, those kind of things, of things that we've messed up. And
yeah, freedom from circumstances.
Yeah, yes. Well, we did that one too. We have freedom from, yes, circumstances, one, yeah, freedom from regret.
Yeah. And
I suggest, both of those, I think, would be helpful for people that are just, because regret can be a real downer, you know.
Yeah.
When you don't realize where all it came from, you know, where all your actions.
Well, a lot, you and I, Steve, and a lot of those who are listening to us, and by the way, we appreciate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You listening to us, those of you are, you know, Steve and I independently have been on a freedom journey, and now we share that journey together, and we're sharing it with you, and we hope that you're sensing the truths that will set you free, will make you free. And but this, you know, to know that God's in charge, because you and I, Steve, were raised in a system that was, we know now, they wouldn't admit that, but they were and are sin-centered.
Yeah.
The focus is on sin. And when you focus on sin, you'll live in shame and guilt and frustration and discouragement. You'll live there because that's all sin's got to offer. But to be God-centered, the sovereignty of God, the love of God, the salvation of God that is ceaseless, unending, unconditional, unretreating, unfailing. Now you focus there and you can have peace and contentment. You know, we love that verse from Psalms, relax and know that I am God. I am Elohim. So we can relax.
Yeah. And you know, when you're sin-centered, then you fall victim to all these promises that religion makes, that you need to do this and this will get you out and this,
yeah,
will, and it never works.
The religious false fixes.
Yeah.
If you focus on sin, they will make prey of you.
Yeah. But there's no, when you focus on God, and on, there's nothing there to hold you back. There's nothing there to condemn you. There's no condemnation. There's no pressure. There's no guilting.
Relax.
Relax.
Peace.
Yep.
It's wonderful.
It is.
I miss every day. I'm not trying to. Well, sometimes I probably do try to. Especially when it comes to,
even then, it's not your fault.
It's not, right.
No.
But you know what? I'm still in the bondage of sin until death, burial, and resurrection. But I am free from it because it's not who I am. And it's what God wrote. And we rejoice together in that. Free from sin, even while in the midst.